This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. Brian Baldinger joins us at 7:20 to talk NFL. Dave Richard joins us at 8 to talk fantasy football. And Nick Dow joins us at 8:25 to talk about the Caps season opener, which is in 2 days, Saturday at Capital One Arena. So we got a lot coming up on the show, including Nicole Auerbach, who works for NBC Sports. She's going to be covering Notre Dame Stanford and the big one, Ohio State at Oregon.
Not related to Red Auerbach. I don't believe.
So she will be joining us at 9:20.
Yeah. Mm.
So those are the guests that are upcoming. It's time now to hit the skins. It's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day. Just in case, sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You score 10% off. Don't sleep makes you great.
All right, thank you, KXC. It's all about Jaden Daniels.
Yes, correct.
For the Washington Commanders, I was doing my little show prep early this morning, and I saw B. Mitch interviewed by TMZ Sports yesterday.
Oh, very good. Look at B. Mitch with the glow up.
And the headline, "The Sky is the Limit," from B. Mitch. He says, if he keeps leading like this, he can get this town, this state, this area, everybody around. He can feed them from his hands. And, of course, as I always do, I was listening to Kimes Pod as I was driving in this morning, and he interviewed my guy, Jay Gruden, who I love. I think we all love Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, Jay is so, like, over the Snyder thing now that he's even catching. He's referring to himself as we with the Commanders. Like, and it's funny because I think of Jay.
And he never did that before.
Well, not when Dan was there. He was still bitter and stuff. But now that the Snyder era is sort of gone, he's like really embracing him again. And, you know, it's funny. I remember him like with the Bucks. I think he didn't he work for his brother with the Bucks? And then I think he was on Hard Knocks when the Bengals were maybe associated with it or something. I can't remember.
Only been the head coach of one team, though.
Only the head coach of one team. But he's all in on
He was a consultant with the. I thought it was with the Rams.
Maybe with McVay 1 year.
Yeah.
And he lives here.
Well,
half the time.
He's got a place in Jacksonville as well. He's back and forth.
Mm. Yeah. But he's just still, you know, he's still locked in. Mm-hmm. He watches all the games every weekend. And he's all in on Jaden, too. And he, you know, John, of course, was asking him about him. And, I mean, he said right now he thinks he's a top four quarterback in the league. He said he thinks that Jaden is obviously an MVP candidate, but he put him up there as a top four quarterback. He talked all about, you know, sort of just all of his skills. And he asked him to find a weakness. And he said, now I could, if I had to really nitpick, the only thing he could come up with is he might not have Josh Allen's arm strength. He's got plenty of arm strength, but he might not have. Missile.
But he doesn't need to have the strongest arm in the league.
And he said, trust me, I'm really nitpicking.
His arm looks plenty strong.
Yeah,
he said
it's plenty good enough.
Games.
Yeah, it's plenty.
No, he said it's plenty good enough. But, I mean, if there's anything, he said, obviously, you know, he'll pick you apart. He said, I was a little concerned after the first week or two. I didn't know if he would throw guys open and make those progressions and make those throws downfield. He said, but I think Cliff was just bringing them along slowly, which was fine. He says, I have none of those concerns anymore. You know, if you rush him, he's just, you know, he's going to sidestep the defender and then go for 34 yards down the sideline. It's just like sky's the limit. No reason why they can't win 11, 12, 13 games. I think he said that week.
He's actually said 10, 11, 12, or 13.
Yeah. And
that's a good range.
That is a good range.
Yeah. And then he said there's no reason why they can't win the NFC East. He said, you know, Dak's always going to make one or two kind of mental mistakes during the game. Philly is in turmoil, and they already beat the Giants once.
Beat the Giants.
Although Daniel Jones is playing better than
the Giants are playing better now. Obviously, they went out to Seattle and won. Philly, turmoil just because of the injuries, yeah.
A.J. Brown's just going to be back Sunday, and I think Devontae Smith
is going to be back.
Yeah, so he'll get both those. That'll be the first time, right? Or maybe the second. Maybe opening day they had both of them. But I think Brown got hurt and missed week two.
Yep.
Now, Cakes, this is from a Raiders blog.
All right.
But it's regarding the Commanders. The pack is thinning. I think we talked about this a little yesterday. In the Devontae Adams pursuit, the Chiefs, Commanders, Ravens, they're all out on Devontae.
Okay.
Are the Raiders open to retaining him? That's now where they're – are they back in square one?
Does that just mean the trade interest is tepid and they're not getting back in return what they're hoping for?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, they're not going to trade him for nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
They made a quarterback switch. Maybe Devontae Adams likes Aiden O'Connell better than he likes Gardner Minshew.
I'd have to look at what
Or maybe they're just not getting the offers they thought they would get.
I'm sure that's part of
it. Like you said, they're just not going to give him away.
Right.
Right?
He's under contract.
That's right. I mean, if he wants to get paid, he's got to play.
So this is interesting, too. I don't know if you guys caught this, but John Allen's appearance on the show this week caught the attention of the longtime beat writer of Cleveland, Mary Kay Cabot, who's been on the show before through the years.
Okay.
Long time. She's like the John Keim of the Browns, right? Covering them forever. John, when he came on the show, he's quoted here in her article in the, I think it's the Cleveland Plain Dealer, not sure. I think so, yeah. She said, remember when John said, if I'm being honest, talking about Deshaun, he looked like a player who's had stuff going on above his shoulders. It's definitely a confidence thing that's going on. I always tell people, doesn't matter how great a player you are, if you don't have confidence, you're not a good player. And then he backed off a little bit, said, look, I don't know what's going on, but that's just what he's
his opinion.
And then Deshaun responded.
Ooh.
He said, let me see here. Every time I step on the field, I've just got to be able to go out there and play confident football, go out there and do my job at the highest ability. That's his perspective. I played against Jonathan Allen multiple times within college and in the NFL. But at the same time, when I step on the field, I am confident. And I just want to go out there and just try to play the best football I can play. He said, you could say I was trying to do too much, trying to make the big plays, trying to create things where I didn't need to create things. But at the same time, it was just the flow of the game and how the game kind of goes. They got up on us fast. We were trying to get back in the game. Then, of course, they note in the article, Watson ranked 28th in the NFL in quarterback rating with a 74.4. I actually thought it would have been lower than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that rating.
That must just be the traditional quarterback rating,
Which is just...
I know. It's hard to take it seriously.
Yeah.
By the way, going back to the Devontae Adams for 1 second, with Aiden O'Connell at the helm last year, in three of the last four games, maybe he's pro this quarterback switch, because he had 8 for 101 and a touchdown against the Chargers, 13 for 126 and two touchdowns against Indy, 5 for 46 and a touchdown against Denver. So he actually had pretty good numbers when Aiden O'Connell was throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll be more open to playing for the Raiders with O'Connell instead of Minshew. I don't know.
So obviously the sexy matchup, I think Jay said he thinks this could be the best game of the year. The Ravens and Commanders set for, it's a 1 o'clock start, right, Valdez?
Correct.
I think so.
1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. I think we said yesterday some of the tickets, like the lowest price tickets were like $300.
We know that... networks wanted to flex it, but CBS gave them the Kembe.
Yeah.
No, we're not giving up this game.
Yeah, the game's too sexy.
Yep.
For that, I know I did Grant and Danny's show yesterday, and at the end they kind of asked me, you know, what do I think for Sunday? And I got to tell you, I started the week thinking like 5%, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up closer to like 30-40, like...
Well, you're right at the ESPN matchup predictor.
Yeah.
Yes, they're right around 34-35%.
I mean, maybe even... I'm inching towards 50-50.
Oh, you're close to a coin flip?
I mean, I don't know, right? Because...
Joe Burrow just threw 5 touchdown passes against them, and Washington has a prolific offense.
I don't know what's going on with their pass defense, Valdez. You know better than me. I don't know what it is. It's the new coordinator. I don't know. They got a bunch of new guys back there. I don't know what it is. It's old guys. I don't know.
Marcus Williams is playing pretty slow. I mean, they basically have the same personnel as they did last year, except they have a new coordinator.
And so they're playing a different style?
Jay said
they're not playing as physical.
Well, it's hard to play physical when they're throwing a lot, and that's kind of a finesse game instead of trying to run it down the Ravens' throat. Mm-hmm. But Marcus Williams is kind of a liability at safety. They didn't really lose anybody.
Wiggins is a rookie, correct?
Yeah, but he's literally probably been the best corner.
Yeah. So their best is their rookie.
I saw they're bringing back Dean Pease as an advisor to the defense.
Brandon Stevens has sticky coverage, but he doesn't really have ball skill. And Marlon Humphrey has ball skill, but he's kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
But Dean Pease was brought in as a consultant who coached Zach Orr when he was a Raven. So hopefully that helps. But they literally have the same personnel. The only people they lost were Queen, Stone, and Darby, and Clowney. And they weren't that significant.
Where did they rank pass defense-wise last year?
Well, I mean, total defense, I think they were second or third in the entire league.
Yeah. So, obviously, a drop-off there, but still stout against the run, right? Are they one or two? Are they up there against the run?
I think they're one.
So, I watched Jaden's presser yesterday. I don't know if any of you guys watch it. And, again, I'm just blown away by the guy, how just calm he is, poised. He didn't even seem to really – he's, like, respectful, but he can't wait to get off that podium. Imagine what a pain in the ass that is to have to do – does he only have to do that once a week, or does he have to do that every day?
I think it's once a week for him,
but, like, Quinn does it, like, every day, it seems like. It just seems like a pain in the ass. But they asked him, you know, playing the Ravens and their, stout run defense, et cetera, is it going to be more about, like how you attack them and what they're doing, or is it just going to be more what you do? And I think he said the right answer. And he said, no, it's just, I don't really concern myself with the weekly opponents. Like, they're all good, and we're just going to do what we do and respond, you know?
Last year, the Ravens, by the way, finished 6th in the league in yards allowed per game through the air.
Okay. Right, so markedly better.
And this year, they're next to last.
Yeah, so markedly better. So
I saw a TikTok clip of the virtual reality that Jaden uses.
Yeah, somebody sent me that.
And it was pretty interesting that you can just plug in, like you can plug in the opponent's defense and plays. So you could put on the virtual reality set and want to say, I want to see Ravens cover 2. And then you would simulate whatever play you want. And apparently Cliff Kingsbury has spoken out all the calls. So he could basically simulate, Cliff gives him a play, he goes to the line, he sees the defense, and then he figures out how to attack it.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. And obviously, it's working, right? It must be helping
him. Works for him.
Must be working, must be helping him. I don't know, man. My opinion is changing as we're getting closer and closer to game time here, Cakes. I'm not going to be distraught if we lose. It's a great team that we're playing. But, man, I got to tell you, I'm starting to feel like we have a real shot in this
You're
game.
You're feeling it.
I feel like I just feel like we have a real shot, which it's just hard for me to imagine. This is what I said to Grant and Danny yesterday. Remember, it was just a month ago where the offense was like lackluster. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no concerns about Jaden, but they just weren't asking him to do much. He was just doing the little bubble screen stuff, like a million of them. And then the defense was atrocious.
Right.
It was just a month ago. And we were ranked 30, 31, 32 in the power rankings. Now, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around it. I don't know if fans are.
I think part of it is they played a really bad opponent in Cleveland, which made them look better. Now they played
better against Arizona. We've scored like 120 points.
I know, but
last 3 games.
Just think you're facing a different level of offense when it comes to the Ravens.
No doubt.
Like they're not holding the Ravens to like 13 or 14 points.
No.
Like that's not happening.
I don't see it. What's been their lowest output this year, the Ravens?
20 against the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Was that the opener?
Yeah.
Yeah, they scored 20, then they scored 23 in the loss to the Raiders, and since they in the wins, 28, 35, 41.
The problem is what they're really, really good at, you know, running the football, is really, I think, our biggest Achilles heel.
Right.
Even as much as the secondary has issues, I think it's safe to say that stopping the run's even worse.
Gotta keep the ball away from him.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what you're gonna do.
What's the over under?
Now you got me thinking negative again.
What's the over under on rushing yardage for Lamar plus Derrick Henry?
180.
200.
Yeah. 180. Yeah, it's probably pretty close.
Do you want the actual prop number?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Whatever that is.
Why, there is one for, I think, both. Between, or you're just gonna combine them?
I'm just gonna combine them.
Right.
Yeah. Let me look that up in a sec.
185, 190.
Did you see the JD? I don't know if you mentioned this. That JD didn't want to be compared to Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
He doesn't like that.
Well, listen, yeah, it was kind of interesting. And I get it. He probably doesn't want to be compared to Robert, all these guys. He goes, I just want to be Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. I just want to be my best version of myself. But he did acknowledge that, you know, when as a fan, he watches all these guys. He watches Lamar. He watches Mahomes. He works out in the offseason with CJ Stroud and other guys in the league. And they talk, and they say how they attack certain defenses or how they made certain plays. But he doesn't, you know, he does get annoyed by the comparison. Yeah. But I will say, I think the RG3 comparison is borderline insulting. I understand it.
So that's the third time it's come up.
The Lamar,
no mas.
The Lamar comparison, though, I think is more valid.
Right.
Hey, all right, here you go.
Yeah.
Lamar and Derrick Henry, rushing yard props, total. Any guesses?
I said 180.
Not even close. Sorry. 138.
Ooh.
So go way over.
Probably going to go over.
They do have that?
Yeah. 82.5 for Henry, and Lamar's at 55.5.
But can you do the both together?
No. Combine them? No.
Well, I guess you could parlay it or something.
Yeah, you can parlay it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL with Brian Baldinger. We'll do that next here on The Fan. Welcome back to The Junks. Time now to head out to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Brian Baldinger, Odyssey's NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Good morning, Baldy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Doing good, man.
Hey, Baldy, are you in Florida? You mentioned you had a place in Florida. What part of Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, so you're okay with the hurricane.
Well, I didn't go down. I just, because of all the talk, so I just stayed up here in Jersey.
Right.
Yeah, just South Jersey right here. We're good.
Well, okay. Dude, hopefully.
But nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. It didn't really hit the eastern part of Florida.
Right.
That's
right.
Good. And I'm hearing that the hurricane may not have been quite as powerful as it could have been. The rain totals were unreal. But certainly people died. It's brutal. But the thing that really freaked me out is seeing this morning alligators in like people's living rooms.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Terrifying.
That'd be terrifying. Yeah. I mean, these storms are crazy. The storm surge. But alligators in my living room, that's like, we're going to have to get that exterminated.
Yeah. You're going to need to call in a specialist for that.
Yeah, you would have to.
Yeah.
So, Baldy, I saw one of your film breakdowns on the Commanders' defensive side about what Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner are bringing to this defense. Can you fill us in on what you're seeing?
Well, you know, I mean, they've never – I mean, obviously they come from different teams. So they're both learning a defense together. And, you know, it takes some time to build the chemistry, I think, between the two off-the-ball inside linebackers. So they're kind of learning. I mean, Frankie's a really good high-twitch, fast-twitch pass rusher. Like, he's got elite movement. Bobby is one of these guys that's just he's such a student of the game. You know, he's a lot more patient, but I think together they played really well. They're a big part of the pass rush, big part of getting to, you know, Deshaun Watson last week and doing what they did. So I thought it was pretty impressive the way that they played throughout the game. And you could say what you want about Deshaun Watson and how he's playing. They got down there close a few times and they couldn't score, you know, very often. So I thought they played real well together. I think that's an improving part of this defense.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you think that the defense as a whole is improving, or if that was just kind of a product of playing against QBs who just kind of looked lost? Kyler Murray looked lost after that first drive in that game 2 weeks ago. And then Deshaun's terrible. He's just a bad quarterback. So.
Yeah, they actually blew a coverage there at the goal line, and he had no idea. I mean, he's not looking at the receivers and reading the coverage, and he's dropping his head. He's sacking himself down there. But, yes, it's a product. I mean, they gave up 9 touchdown passes the first 3 games. And you could say some of those teams, whether it's the Giants or whatever, aren't very good. So I'm not convinced the secondary is where it needs to be. But, look, you kind of build your confidence slowly. You're learning a new defense. Joe Witt Jr. is, you know, calling the defenses, and Dan's installing stuff, and everybody's new, you know, back there for the most part. And so I just think you have a lot of new pieces. Might take a little bit of time, but certainly the results the last 2 weeks, you can say Deshaun and Kyler like you did, and that's probably true. But at the same time, you're still keeping the ball from going over your head. And, you know, that's something they've struggled with since last year.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So, Baldy, you have the top two rushing attacks in the league getting together this weekend in Baltimore as the Commanders travel to Baltimore. The Ravens, 211 yards per game. The Commanders, 178 yards per game. The Commanders really adept at rushing touchdowns with 13. They lead the league. So if you love watching teams run the ball, this is the game for you this weekend.
That's true. But I was there in Cincinnati last week. Lamar threw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible last week. I mean, he had a lot of deep balls and the touchdown to Isaiah Likely. I mean, he dropped the pat and he dropped the snap, and then he rolled out to his right and beat about three guys and then just jumped and threw the ball to Likely for a touchdown. It's kind of those stats from last week can be a little bit misleading. They did put up 41 points in overtime to win, and that's significant. But they really did a great job of shutting down Derrick Henry in Cincinnati. I mean, if I was Dan Quinn and those guys, I'd be studying what they did because they never really let him get going until the very end of the game, and he ripped off like a 50-yarder, which, you know, I mean, it's a 50-yarder. I'm not taking anything away from it. But for most of the game, they went away from Derrick Henry. Now, they went back to him in the fourth quarter when the game got tight and he made one big play. But I'm really impressed. Yes, the Commanders have 13 rushing touchdowns. The next closest, Baltimore, whatever, they have eight. There'll be teams this year that won't rush for 13 touchdowns the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible how they're finishing. Obviously, Jaden's a big part of it, big part of the running attack. I mean, these two teams, in some ways, the way the quarterbacks play, they kind of mirror each other. I think Lamar has a lot more designed runs than Jaden does, but they still have designed runs for both quarterbacks, and both are the two best running quarterbacks in the league right now. So I think if you get great quarterback play, you're going to have a great game. It should be very entertaining, and I would think both defenses will struggle to stop the other team right now.
Baldy, pretty remarkable that in Derrick Henry's Hall of Fame career, he's averaging the most yards per carry at the age of 30. I mean, he's averaging 6 yards per carry with Baltimore, and his highest before that looks like 2020 at 5.4 yards per carry with the Titans. Like, he seems like he's getting better with age, which is not usually the case for 30-year-old running backs in the league.
He's got better players around him.
Yeah, that it certainly helps.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he got the 87-yarder against Buffalo to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are always going to, you know, pad your stats, but he's broken big runs, and that's something he couldn't do last year in Tennessee. And to your point, he's got better players around him. It's a better system. You have to account for Lamar. There's a mesh point there. Who has the ball? Dallas still doesn't know who had the ball at the mesh point. Like, they both ran wild against the Cowboys. So it's a perfect – like, when the deal went down, I'm like, this is the perfect team, the perfect system. Lamar's never had a guy like Derrick Henry he can hand off to. They're getting better up front where they can just run it. But then they have all this misdirection stuff and all this read option stuff and all this stuff going on. And then the power football with Patrick Ricard, they get into a power pistol formation. I mean, they have a lot of different formations, a lot of ways to run the ball. And so that's really the problem. And he's like the perfect complement. And then when you take him off the field, Justice Hill, you know, when he was drafted in 2019, he was the fastest back in that draft coming out of the combine. So they've got a pretty good blend right now between Lamar and his athleticism, the power of Derrick Henry, and the breakaway runs that he's giving you every week right now, and that's certainly a challenge. And then Justice Hill coming in as sort of the change of pace back. It's a formidable group.
Baldy, wanted to ask you about a couple end-of-game situations from last week.
Yes.
So the Ravens could have lost that game. The Bengals had a 53-yard field goal, but they ran. I think you tweeted about this. Why not give the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, even on just a screen? Mm-hmm. He's electric. And then I think everybody in America was perplexed by the end of strategy from Sean McDermott and the Bills throwing the ball three times from their 3-yard line. What'd you make of both situations?
I didn't like either one, and I don't want to play Monday morning quarterback with these coaches. I know there's a lot of decisions to make, but let's just break them down. I mean, the Bengals get the ball after Lamar fumbles, and Jermaine Pratt picks it up. Mm-hmm. They're in overtime. It's 38-38, and they hand it off to Chase Brown three times in a row, and they gain 3 yards, and they don't really get any closer for McPherson to kick. Now, it's a bad snap. Okay, I got it. But Ja'Marr Chase is sitting there with Brandon Stevens 8 yards off him. I mean, I felt like there's part of Joe Burrow that said, the hell with the call. I'm just giving it to my favorite player, the best player. And they didn't do it. And so, you know, you missed the field goal. You had a chance, honestly, to make the Ravens 2-3, the Bengals 2-3. I mean, they could have just tightened that whole division up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but in Buffalo, it made no sense to me. You're back on your own 2-yard line. All right, there's 32 seconds to go in the game. And yes, Houston has all three timeouts. And if you run it, you're going to burn a timeout each time. You might get the first down running it. It's not like you're going to take a knee. You're going to hand it off to a great, great back that averages 4.5 yards a carry. Or Josh Allen, who's a great back. So I thought the decision to throw, because the throws weren't even close. They looked like they were Hail Mary type throws. Mac Hollins, like Keon Coleman, none of the throws were very good.
The first one could have been picked off. The first one was like
been picked off, okay, for sure. But, you know, the thing that I was thinking of, Josh Allen threw every pass from the end zone. Like any offensive penalty, holding, illegal hands to the face, all that stuff, it's a safety, and you lose the game. Like you're not definitely not going to run a screen out of your own end zone. Like that's, you're out calling for a safety. But You can have interceptions, tip balls, and you can have safeties because of penalties. And you're willing to risk that when you could just hand off. And the other thing was, if you make Houston burn all their timeouts by running it, you know, when C.J. Stroud got the ball, since the first play was 7 seconds that they had, they threw it to Adam Bawley for like 6 or 7 yards to get closer for the field goal. Maybe you don't have any chance to do that. And so maybe you're kicking just a longer field goal. I heard Sean McDermott explain it, and I still
don't understand it. Some of these coaches are just clueless. Hey, tonight, big one, San Francisco and Seattle. I don't know if you've looked at the next 6 weeks of the schedule for 49ers, but if they lose tonight, Baldy, they're 2-4.
Yeah, they play Kansas City next week.
Kansas City, Dallas, in Tampa, Seattle again, in Green Bay, at Buffalo.
Well,
that's a big one tonight.
I mean, Arizona went there and beat them last week. I mean, you know, Kyler Murray went 50 yards on a read option on the second play of the game. They had no idea how to stop that. You know, and then they finished the game. I mean, they out-hit San Francisco. I mean, the hits that, you know, whether it was Buda Baker or whatever, I mean, they lit that team up. They forced a fumble at the end of the game. San Francisco is going to win it.
Yeah.
They took the game from them.
Yeah.
They don't look invincible to me at all. But then Seattle was god-awful against the Giants.
Yeah.
And so maybe these two teams, one of the teams tonight, this is interesting.
Maybe they're just average.
Maybe they are, but one of the teams are going to be on a three-game losing streak tonight.
Correct.
Either Seattle or San Francisco, one of them.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, your thoughts on Drake May playing this weekend against Houston. They decided, all right, 5 weeks is enough. We've seen enough from Brissett. Let's go with Drake May. It's a tough team to play, obviously, in the Texans, but to get him at home, your thoughts on how you think he's going to play?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope he's not dead man walking. You know, they're not very good around the quarterback. And so at some point you throw him in there and see if he can, I don't know, be a Troy Aikman, maybe take his lumps. And if he's wired the right way, he's not going to pout and hang his head and, you know, get gun-shy. They're just not a very good team. I don't know who their left tackle is anymore because it keeps changing every week. And, you know, they got some young rooks in there. Lane Robinson looks like a pretty good player. But there's not a lot of talent. Hunter Henry got off to a good start. He's kind of fizzled. You know, this Jalen Polk, I think, has a potential to be a good player if they can protect long enough. this young receiver from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a Ramondre Stevenson looks decent at times. Well, they have to play a certain way. They have to win the time of possession. They got to control the ball. They can't put the quarterback in harm's way. And the defense has to keep the score down. If they do all those things, they got a chance.
Baldy, thanks as always, man. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
I look forward to it, guys. You
all
guys
right.
Enjoy.
Thank you, buddy.
Sir, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. When we come back, we'll get into is Commanders versus Ravens a rivalry game. We'll take your calls on that as well next. 800-636-1067. Do you consider Commanders-Ravens a rivalry game? We'll be right back. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are going to get a workout over the next 35-ish minutes because we're taking your calls right now on whether you think Ravens-Commanders is a rivalry game. And then at 8 o'clock, Dave Richard joins us. We know that you need lineup advice for, yes, it's week six already. Week six kicks off in the NFL tonight as the Seahawks take on the 49ers.
I will put that up as the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. We love Scotty's Vodka. I do not think it is a rivalry game. You don't play them often enough. I just saw a stat, too. Is Lamar Jackson 21-1 against the NFC? Does he dominate the NFC?
He's shaking his head, yes.
That's not bad.
It's not a rivalry in my mind.
Well, but like you said, rivalries you usually play every year.
Yeah.
Right? You don't play them every 3 or 4 years.
Let's hear what Commanders head coach Dan Quinn has to say about it. He was asked whether it's a rivalry game, whether he considers it a rivalry or not.
Do you consider Washington and Baltimore rivals?
You know, for me, first, you know, kind of getting here and getting started, I didn't naturally think of that coming in because of the division and the history of what the NFC East, you know, has been so much with the teams that way. So that was probably the first thing I thought with rivalries with Washington of the NFC East. I think there's always a connection when cities are, you know, closer by, but the fact that we're not in the same division and the same conference, you know, for me, my first, you know, time playing Baltimore as a Commander, my first thought was the East first.
Hmm. So I'm kind of with him. Ben Standing called me yesterday. I think he's doing a piece for The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it'll be out today or tomorrow. So I told him to send it to me whenever he does it. But here's my thing. And we've talked about this many, many times on the show. And I'll preface it by saying it's probably a character flaw. Okay? But I've always felt superiority over Baltimore. I don't feel a rivalry with Baltimore.
Right.
That being said, I've, you know, for the last 20 years, considered them a superior football team.
Well,
not even
close.
Yeah. And even though I think we're lifetime, what, 4-4? Is that where we are, Valdez? Do you know? Is that, I think the Ravens are 4-4.
I don't know the lifetime.
I think
record.
It's something like that. I consider them, and it took me a while, probably took me 10 years to realize that, wow, they really are superior to us, that they're a superior organization, football team. This would be the first time I feel like we're kind of maybe on somewhat equal footing from an organizational standpoint, maybe a talent standpoint.
Are they traditional rivals? No. But I think proximity definitely breeds some form of a rivalry. Because, I mean, are you going to tell me the Yankees and Mets aren't rivals? They share the same city. Of course they are.
See, Ravens 4-3,
by but they're playing each other every year, too.
That's true. But I think that the fact that they're 30 miles apart, you know, like Baltimore, Washington are very close.
I don't think it's quite a rivalry yet, but it will be.
It could develop into it if Jaden keeps doing what he's doing.
I don't see it just because you're not playing each other enough. I mean, I'm looking at the history. So what I see, this is from the football database. The last time they faced each other was 2020.
Yeah.
It's 2024.
That was Haskins.
The time before that was 2016.
Well, they're going to face each other every 4 years.
Exactly.
Like, that's the way it works out.
Yeah, but
maybe
still,
from a proximity battle of 95.
Put it this way, if we start winning,
it's not a traditional
East, and they're
rivalry.
Winning their conference or division.
I think they're preseason rivals. Don't they play each other a lot?
They're definitely
and we heard Dominique Foxworth say that it mattered to the Ravens because they wanted to have the bragging rights in the clubs.
And I've always maintained that Baltimore considered us more of a rival than DC considered them. Now, Valdez might have a problem with that. But I've always thought that was the general notion.
I don't think their football fans believe.
But their football fans think they're superior, and I will grant
their rivals are the Steelers.
Right. Well, their baseball fans feel that way,
but
too.
But I just think the city. But like Baltimore people really just don't really like D.C.
Sure.
And D.C., I just thought basically.
They think we're snooty and snobby.
Yeah, which I would agree with.
Well, we are very highfalutin. We're very cultured. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067.
You're forgetting the history between the Redskins and the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jack Kent Cook did everything he could with Paul Tagliabue to deny the Raven, deny Baltimore getting a team from expansion. That's why there's an underlying resentment towards the Commanders.
There's an undercurrent of resentment.
Yes, it's the same reason when Angelos did everything he could in his power to keep the Nats from coming to D.C.
Damn Masson deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's why there's underlying resentment towards it when Jack Ken Cook tried to build his stadium basically at Laurel Racetrack before moving it to where it is now, so that basically the city couldn't get a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had a superior bid than all the other teams, like Jacksonville trying to get his expansion, they lobbied with Paul to not get the team. That's why there's an undercurrent of resentment towards it, saying that the money's better used for a museum instead of a football team.
No, nobody wants another museum. No, thank you.
Hey, listen. I think that it's a great organization you got over there, and hopefully we're approaching equal footing.
But you don't believe it's a rivalry. I don't believe it's a rivalry. Cakes, do you believe it's a rivalry?
I'll go semi-rivalry.
I think it has a lot of potential now.
Semi-rivalry.
I don't think it quite is yet, but it has potential. But like I said, I've never considered Baltimore.
But you've got to play, for it to be a rival, you've got to play more than every 4 years.
Right.
Maybe. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067.
And that's just not the way the NFL schedule works.
Let's go to Scott, Damascus. Scott, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yep. Appreciate you. Yeah. I'm actually in Cakes' Fantasy Football League, so shout out Cakes.
Ah, very good.
So I grew up in Montgomery County, MoCo, my whole life. I was a Commander/Redskins fans until they broke RG3, and I quit. And so I've kind of watched both sides here. And the Commanders have sucked so bad that there's no rivalry from that side of the pitch. Mm-hmm. The Ravens, I see the bitterness. I see just a better organization, like a younger, better brother, or like, you know, Best Buy to Circuit City, or, you know, Amazon to Best Buy, whatever it is. It's a better organization. It's better run. And the only way we're going to have any rivalry is if there's a Super Bowl matchup, because that you have to have a meaningful game that actually has something at stake for people to care, to get fired up, to hate somebody. You can't. Preseason and the clubs. I mean, I'm not watching preseason, and I'm not in the clubs, so that doesn't matter at all. So,
all right, thank you,
thanks, Scott.
It's basically hard to argue though any of that stuff. To be honest with you. Let's go to Larry, South Carolina. Larry, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Larry.
To JP's point, it's not a rivalry because they don't play twice a year or even once a year. They play once every 4 years, maybe once every couple years. So I have a proposal to EB and to Valdez.
Mm.
So it's going to be three teams moving in division. So the Colts will move from the AFC South to the AFC North. The Ravens move to the NFC East, natural rivalry with the three teams there. And the Cowboys move to the AFC South. And I know we have a rival with Dallas, but the rivalry between the Ravens and Washington will blow the roof off of that rivalry. I think that will cause the rivalry. I don't know if it probably will never happen, but I think that will be a great way to stoke a rivalry between the two teams.
I don't hate it, Larry. I don't hate shaking up the divisions.
But like you said, it's not going to happen.
No, of course.
But do you like your rivals that you have right now in like sort of Cincinnati and...
Oh, the Steelers are our number one rival.
Right.
What do you mean, do I like them? Do I like the matchups?
Would you want to move to the same division as the Commanders just so we could have that rivalry?
Well, you know what they should do? I heard this yesterday on Pardon My Take, is that they should be like the NBA. They should, like, the AFC should be the eastern part, and the NFC should be like the western part.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you have, not only do you have division, but you would have geographical rivals.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how the NBA does it.
Right.
So Chicago westward would be in the NFC, and then everything east of that would be in the AFC.
Would it work?
I don't know. I'd have to like go through and.
Is there enough spread out? You know what I mean?
I think there are enough spread out.
Evenly distributed ish.
I think there would be. Maybe
I don't think you have to play a team.
It's called meeting Valdez.
I don't think you have to play a team twice a year and be in the same division to be a rival. Because right now I would say the Ravens and Chiefs are rivals. They play each other enough. Sometimes it's in the playoffs, sometimes it's in the regular season where there's a rivalry.
Yeah.
And back in the day, the Patriots and Colts, Brady and Manning, they didn't play each other twice a season, but they matched up a lot and then matched up in the playoffs.
It kind of just depends
on a rivalry.
How you define the term. But
I don't see the Ravens and Commanders.
San Francisco's rivals for many years were the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
San Francisco's rivals for many years was the Packers.
Yep. Yeah, but if you ask...
And it was because they were facing those teams most of the time in the playoffs, but not necessarily in the regular season.
If you asked a Skins fan, would you rather beat the Browns or the Ravens? I'd rather beat the Ravens.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And if you asked the Ravens, would you rather beat Jacksonville or the Browns? Or because the Browns are already in their division.
They're in their division, yeah.
So say Jacksonville or the Commanders, they'd probably say the Commanders.
No, Jacksonville. I'd rather have AFC
that's
wins.
In the AFC.
All right. Seattle. You'd rather beat the Skins.
Right.
If I had to probably. The one or the other?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd rather beat the Skins.
I would probably root for the one that has the better record
you
at the end of the season.
You might also root for them to beat Seattle, so Drab would be upset. that might be the case,
no,
too.
I'm always thinking about the team. So I want the better records if it comes down to playoff scenarios.
Yeah. All right, we got to clear out all the rivalry or semi-rivalry calls and get the fantasy football calls lined up for Dave Richard because he'll join us next. He'll give you all that week 6 advice that you know that you need. So Dave Richard from CBS Sports joins us next on The Fan.